Lord, appear to us. Lord, equip us as your army, as your soldiers, that we are functioning in your hand. We thank you for Zion. We thank you for this place. Thank you. You will use your scepter out from Zion, that you can rule over your enemies from Zion. That's the burden tonight. Praise the Lord for everything that He shows us about our preparation. And all of this, it has a purpose, even that we are becoming first fruits and enter the thousand-year kingdom. Is not just for us personally, but the Lord needs some that will rule with Him in the thousand-year kingdom. He doesn't want to rule by Himself. The Lord needs in the thousand-year kingdom people that will be with Him and that will bring your kingdom, that His kingdom down on this earth. That's really important that we have this in front of our eyes. It's not about us personally. It's not just, it's also important that we all ourselves prepare personally, that we're ready for Him to come. But it's not just for our sake, but it's also because the Lord needs us. Because the Lord needs people for His purpose. And we have to see this earth is how the word says, the end of all things has come near. Yeah, the probably has to be changed, not just near, it's there. We are at that time. The earth is at its end. The end of all things is now there. We don't talk about like 10 years. We don't have to think about the long future. While we are here, the end of all things is there. You probably all saw the video about the morning of the creation. This earth, all the creation, is waiting for the revelation of the sons of God. The signs in the creation, everywhere it's shaking, the volcanoes, gas is coming out, almost everything is falling apart. Don't build a house now, because it will break apart, because the end is there. The earth is just on its last leg. You can see everywhere that the creation is preparing for the sixth seal. Once the sixth seal is there, then the earth will shake. We all know these verses. And also the corruption is full. The measure of corruption is full. There's no more room. The barrel is running over. Everything has been reached. The corruption is there. And the whole world is in the hands of the evil one. And the whole world is in the hands of the evil one. Sometimes we think here and there something is still okay. Nothing is okay anymore. Everything is corrupt. The government is corrupt. What they do is corrupt. The people are evil and corrupt. And it's not just that the corruption is being covered, but it is obvious. And every day it comes out more. And the evil is not hidden anymore. It is openly practiced, and they're proud to do it. That shows us the measure of evil has been reached. That's why the earth is full of evil. When we see these things and hear about it, what does it do to us? It has to help our heart to be completely break up the roots from this earth. Do you want to build up something here? Everything is corrupt. These signs are also given to us. The Lord is coming, and we're at the end. But the apostle had the attitude that we put our hearts completely on his kingdom. That's why he gives us these signs, and that's why we see this the evil and the corruption. Our heart shall be fully for the coming kingdom and for the Lord. Every time I hear more and see more of this evil that is being revealed, in my heart something happens. And I say, Lord, I don't want to have anything here. I want to turn towards your kingdom. That's what we have to see. We have to see why is the corruption in this world so strong. Because the devil rules in this world. Few years ago, we still thought our government is okay. But our government is not okay. The devil rules. And the devil uses people that do his evil things, that manifest the evil in all the governments. There is nothing good left. It's only corruption left. They don't do anything good for people. They kill them. They destroy everything. That's the devil. And they are in the hands of the evil one. That's the condition of this whole earth. Wherever you look, it's all nothing good is left. That's the ruler of this world. In Ephesians 6, we see behind the governments, there's the powers and principalities, the evil spirits, the rulers of the darkness of this age that move the people, that give them the power and influence them. And they're just tools. Do you think the UNO is good? Do you think there's anything good there? It's the devil who rules there. And he uses the people to corrupt this earth. That's what we have to see. And we shouldn't be unimpressed by this. When we see all these things, how everything is falling apart around us, and the devil has this whole earth in under his power, are you unimpressed? And you just take care of your own little life. As much as I have a good life, everything else doesn't matter. Yeah, in secret, that's often our attitude. We're not aware of what's happening around us, and we're happy with our little life. But that's not what the Lord called us for. That's not our destiny. But the Lord has called us to conquer this earth. The earth does not belong to the governments that are ruling right now, and the earth does not belong to the devil. This earth belongs to the Lord, and the earth belongs to us. The earth is the Lord. It's His inheritance, and He wants us to give it to us as our co-heirs. Do we feel anything when we see the corruption, when we see what the devil does with this earth and with the people? Do we have a reaction in our heart? And do we cry out to the Lord? It's the earth belongs to us and not to the devil. And the Lord has corrupted the people, and they worship Him. That's why He gives power to them. He even tried with the Lord, and He said, if you worship Me, I will give you the power. Where does the power of the mighty ones come from? Who gave it to them? And He uses them as a tool. And it's a very high price to worship. They killed children. That's from the Canaanites. They brought children to Moloch. If they did it back then, do you think it doesn't happen today? Of course it's happening. They sacrifice children. And we are ignorant. We don't know. It doesn't move in our hearts. But it's fact. And it comes to light more and more. It's a very big corruption. And the Lord will judge it. He will judge it very strongly. When they were sacrificing the children, that He will, everybody's ears will, when they did this, the Lord brought very severe judgment. The Lord knows all the corruption. He sees it every day. He sees this unrighteousness, this evilness. What do you think? What wrath the Lord has collected? The Lord will judge this corruption with a very strong judgment and very strong wrath. And the corruption cannot be stopped. We can think, I have some more nice years ahead of me. I want to enjoy here and there something. The corruption is at a point where you can't stop it anymore. The corruption is there. There's only one who holds back, as one who delays it a bit until we are mature. That's the only reason why it's held up a bit. That's why we can be happy that the calculation we had before, He gave us extra 4 years. It can't be stopped. This earth has been given for judgment. It's prepared for judgment of God. That's what we need to see, and we need to be impressed by. And we have to be moved by it and give our hearts fully to the Lord. That's what really should be in our hearts. When we see these things and hear about it, then we have to turn to the Lord fully. And the Lord will come. And we had some fellowship this morning about the 1,000-year kingdom. Then the Lord will bring His ruling upon this earth. He will judge the enemy, and the earth will be taken over. The Lord could do it by Himself. For Him, it's no trouble or problem to judge the enemy. But the point is, He doesn't want to do it by himself. He wants to do it through us. We are part of the judgment. We have to be one with his judgment. The Lord wants to bring his kingdom through us onto this earth. We're part of God's judgment and righteousness. We are his army and he needs us. He made himself dependent on us. The church is not for us to just meet and have a good time. Personally, and experience the Lord, that's important. But the point is, that's not what it's all about. We're the army of the Lord. And the Lord waits that he can judge this earth with us. And the 1,000-year kingdom can be built up on this earth. How often do we think about that we are his army? Often we are in our daily activities stuck there. Everybody can do what they want. The devil can do what he wants, and I'm just busy with my own daily tasks. I'm just in a hamster wheel and take care of my own little problems. That's not our calling, and that's not what the church has been called for in the army of God, to take care of little problems. The calling of God's army we can see in Revelation 19. They come as his army to execute his judgment. That's our calling. Maybe we can read it right now. Revelation 19. Revelation 19, 14 and 15.
Offenbarung 19, 14 und 15.
And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. The armies in heaven are following him. Are we such an army? We prepare for that. The Lord wants to put together this army today. Last night, Trump attacked Iran. I was so encouraged. Every time we meet up here, the Lord uses King Cyrus to really... that the kings of this earth are being dethroned. The Lord wants to make us his army today. What did Trump these last few weeks? He put together his army and brought all his vessels there, army ships. The Lord wants to prepare us as his army, that we're ready to take the earth together with him. That's a really important preparation. That's a precondition that the 1,000-year kingdom can start. Personally, we have to mature. And part of the maturity is that we are his army and that we've learned to fight with him. That's a wonderful reward for us. Psalm 49. We will bind them with chains.
Mm-hmm.
that Psalm 49.
Ihre Königen mit Ketten zu binden und ihre Edel mit eisernen Fesseln. An ihnen zu vollziehen das geschriebene Gericht.
Solche Ehre the judgment shall be.
Seinen Heiligen zu teilen. Solche Ehre wird uns zuteil werden. Ist es nicht kostbar? Ist es nicht wunderbar? Das möchte der Herr.
The Lord wants to give us verse 1 and 2. Hear this, all peoples, give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. You don't have to be angry. There should be a verse where he binds them with chains. We shouldn't go on the street and throw stones, but our fight is to bind the kings with chains. And the Lord wants to equip us today or teach us to learn this. That's part of the priesthood. It doesn't mean he needs a priesthood. He also has a kingdom of priests. The ruling and the priesthood, they belong together. In Revelation 20, Verse 6, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. It's not just the priesthood, but it's also the ruling to the reigning. The Lord made us kings and priests, and he wants his priests to rule for 1,000 years on this earth. How often is it on our heart? Lord, I want to reign over this earth. Is that not wonderful? All these governments, we will put them in chains, this unrighteousness. When I look at our government, every time I think about it, there's really bitterness in me. They corrupt everything. They destroy the kids, the people. It's such so much unrighteousness. We thank the Lord for his ruling, and the Lord wants us to reign over this earth. But the Lord has to prepare us today. Without our preparation, how can we reign? And the fight is not just where we come down on this earth with the Lord, but the fight is today already. Today we already fight this battle. We don't fight against each other. Often we see instead the believers, instead of throwing out the enemy, they fight against each other. But that's not the fight we should have. We should fight in oneness against the enemy, and we should throw out the accusers of our brethren. And the church, Zion, is a fighter of God. Today we have to learn to fight from Zion. And it shows us Ephesians 6. The church today fights with the systematic attacks of the enemy, and that's what we should resist. There are so many attacks of the enemy, but who stops the enemy today? Who makes him stop? Who does that? That's our task. That's the task of the church. The Lord does it out of Zion. That's what we are for. That the Lord can come to this earth. That's why we have to stop him. That's why the church has to fight. There's still one that stops. Once the church is gone and does not fight anymore to bind the enemy, then the evil has no one stopping it. That's our task, to stop the evilness until the Lord can come. Ephesians 6:10 talks about, we know these verses, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's why we should take the whole armor of God. When the Lord wants to extend his kingdom, there will be a battle. Do you think the enemy will give up his country for free and let people go and let you take over an area? There is a battle, a big battle. When the Lord was on this earth to bring the kingdom, what kind of battle was it? Before he was born, they wanted to kill him. What kind of big battle that is! The Lord fought his whole life against the principalities and powers, against the rulers and the spiritual hosts. He was fighting against Satan, and Satan tried to make him fall. But praise the Lord, he was victorious. He resurrected. Thank the Lord. In him is the victory. But we see the battle. And also the apostles. Did they have an easy life? They fought until the end, until death. But it was a fight to bring the kingdom of God upon this earth. How is it with us today? Are we also standing in this fight? And are we fighting this battle? Are we equipped for this fight? Or is it passing us by? The Lord has to train us. He has to train our hands for war, that we are His army. The Lord doesn't need big masses. We're not many, or you only three in Scharanz in Switzerland. But one beats 1,000. And how many do three conquer? It's an exponential function. We think we're just a little number. What can we do about the spiritual hosts, about the governments? What can you do? But the Lord has given us the victory, and He gave us the battle. Gideon, with 300 men, how many did he beat? 135,000 he conquered. 135,000 with 300 men. Because we do not fight with flesh and blood. Praise the Lord. But we have to fight this battle. I have this verse from Gideon. It says, it was 15,000 men plus 120,000 men fell. So 135,000 divided by 300. So if you three fight in Scharanz, praise the Lord. The Lord can really conquer many through three fighters. Imagine. 100 soldiers fight in Stuttgart-Vaihingen. How the Lord could extend His kingdom if we are actively fighting with the Lord and fight in oneness the spiritual battle. That is enormous. And that's what we have to learn. We are the army of the Lord. And that's why it says in Psalm 110, the Lord will raise the scepter of his power out of Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies. Through Zion, he builds it up, and from there he will send the rod of his strength. The Lord doesn't do it from the heavenly throne and rule over the enemy. Then he could get rid of the enemy in 1 second. But the Lord builds with us Zion, and out of Zion wants to use the rod of his strength. That's why we have to appreciate that we're in Zion and learn that the Lord can rule through us. And that's why it says in the next verse, your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. It depends on us that we are full willing. That is, we care, it's important. But Psalm 110 talks about how the Lord works together with his people. But we have the willingness. We stand with the Lord. We move the arm of the Lord. We are one with him. And that is so precious in the beauty of holiness. Thank the Lord. That is a real joy, for even especially for the younger ones. Mm-hmm. The young ones, they put the enemy to shame. The enemy tries to corrupt the young people. That's his focus. But with us, it's the wrong, the other way around. The young people are beating the enemy. It says in verse 3, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth. We have to appreciate that. And further it says in verse 4, the Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. The ruling and the priestly service, they belong together. Melchizedek is a priestly king. He's a priest and a king. We're not just priests, but also kings. He shall judge among the nations. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. He shall execute the heads of many countries. Isn't that precious? The Lord will judge, and we will judge with him. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have to appreciate and enjoy. That's why the Lord says we have to overcome today. There's many things to overcome. But the Lord says if we overcome, we will reign with him. In Revelation 2:26, yeah. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessel. The Lord gives us part of the judgment. The Lord gives us part of his righteousness. He gives us this rod of iron. That's what we have to appreciate.
And
That's why it's important. And we see all these things, that we give ourselves for this to the Lord. And not get caught up by many things. How Paul said to Timothy, no one who serves as a soldier is caught up in the daily things. Yeah. Soldiers are always ready for battle. The army that went to battle in the Middle East, what is their focus? They are there for the battle. They don't do anything else. They don't take care of their garden and think about this and that. They're there to fight. That's their calling. They're in their position already. And when it says attack, there's only a few minutes and the rockets start flying. They're in their uniform. They're ready for battle. And they're not caught up by many other things, because then they can't fight. Then the enemy has an easy game. No one who serves as a soldier is caught up in the things of daily life, that he may please him who hired him. We have been hired by the Lord to be soldiers, and we serve the Lord as soldiers. Are you aware of that? We have to be conscious of that. That's why the Lord speaks to us, because he needs a functioning army. We are often busy with little small things of our life. What do you think about every day? There's a little problem here and there. And then the days fly by, and we're just busy with these things and are not useful for the spiritual battle. We're not able to fight. And the enemy does whatever he wants. He keeps us busy, and he'll always try to make us busy. But we have to take the word seriously and have the awareness, Lord, I want to serve you as a soldier. I want to be ready. It says in the end, the bride has made herself ready. The bride is also the army. When the bride has made herself ready, it means also the army is ready. The Lord doesn't just take his bride. He also takes his army. That's one thing. Also, an army has to be prepared. That's also the preparation we need. It's not about that we don't have to take care of our daily life. We have to do it, sure. But we're not caught up in it. We are not imprisoned by it. But we still fight the spiritual battle. We can always do it in our prayer. Amen. This world passes away, and we can see it in front of our eyes. The world passes away and its lust. That's why we should not live in this world anymore. Nothing should hold us back in this world. Nothing should hold us back from fighting the battle or distract us, that we don't fight this battle. That's what the Lord shows us. And I'm thankful to the Lord for everything we can see. We have to be dangerous for the enemy if we're just there by ourselves. Then the enemy is laughing. But we have to be a danger to him. Lord Jesus. That's what we can do all the time. in our prayer? How often do we urge the Lord? How often do we bring the evilness of this world before the Lord and complain to Him? When we drive or we work, I hardly have time to sit down for an hour. But in my thoughts, in my heart, we can always fight with the Lord. We can call on Him. We can bring the things of the kingdom before Him. Lord, what do you need? What does the church need? To fight for the saints in prayer, that they're saved, that they're healed. Imagine we're all doing it every day, all the time, pray for one another. What power we have against the enemy. How the Lord can go on to bind the evil things, to the Green Party, these criminals, they abuse kids. So we really have to bring it to the Lord and bless the saints. Lord, appear to us, speak to us, give us an ear. We don't have an excuse. We are all available to the Lord no matter what we do. But we have to do it. We have to have this inner attitude and not just think, where do I go on vacation? How can I take care of my apartment? Do I need a new car? And you take care of that forever and you don't fight anymore. That's not our calling. That's not what we are for in Zion. We're in Zion because the Lord has hired us as a soldier. And the soldier is not caught up in the in things of daily life. That doesn't mean he doesn't take care of it. Paul said he worked more than everybody else, but he still fought the battle. And he was a danger for the devil. Devil said, I know Paul. He was afraid of him. And the enemy also has to be afraid of us here in Stuttgart and wherever we are. And we have to be a power from the Lord. That's very precious. And we have to learn that to enter this battle. But if it's not in our mind, that's why the Lord speaks to us. He wants to write it on our heart and on our mind. And He wants to equip us as His army. Revelation 8, we can see how the Lord can judge. We talked about the seventh seal. That's when the day of God's wrath is starting. But what is the precondition that the Lord can start judging? That's what we can read in chapter 8, in Revelation 8, verse 1, it says, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. That's really big. And I saw seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense. Much incense was given to him. And what did he do with it? That he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises and thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. That's the judgment of God over this earth. That's how he can judge. And that's how he will judge. And we can see here. We don't have to add anything to that. It's so precious. The incense is so important. That ascends to God, that is collected in the vessels. If we are praying according to the will of God in oneness with the Lord, it will be incense, and he will keep it. He collects it until the time point when it's enough. And then he can pour it out and judge this earth. That shows how important is our cooperation. We think the Lord judges, but he needs the incense from the priests. They are the ones who are bringing incense. That's why it's so important for us to learn. Our prayer is so important before the Lord. We're used to pray for many things, but we have to see Revelation 8. We pray for the judgment. We pray for the kingdom of God, for the judgment over the enemy. And that's incense that ascends, and that's how the Lord can judge this earth. That has been given to us, and that's what we should really pursue and do. We can do it all the time, and when we come together, we can all give incense. We can stand before the altar and bring the things of the kingdom before God. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel sent. All the time, the smoke of the incense has to ascend. That we can take the kingdom, that the judgments can come, that the thousand-year kingdom can start, that we can reign with him. That it needs to be our reality in Zion, that the enemy is under our feet. We've heard about that. We are the body of the Lord. We say often, the enemy has to be under the feet of the Lord. But it means practically that the enemy has to be under our feet because we are his body. We have to see how the enemy is bound and how the kingdom is growing, how he gains people out of captivity in Babylon and out of this world. May the Lord equip our hands for battle. We have to bring the word back to the Lord and have to ask the Lord, teach me for battle. Thank the Lord for that. Lord Jesus, amen. Your kingdom come. Take this kingdom. You want to conquer this earth through Zion today. Use the rod of iron, a rod of your strength out of Zion. On Thursday, we heard about the word, how important it is that we're one with the Lord and that he is the head. Then the body has to learn to be one with the head. How can the head do anything by itself. And he needs the body, and they work together. A fighter needs the whole body. It needs everything, everybody. The battle is not the thing of two or three brothers, but we all have to learn to enter this battle. The Lord needs to equip us. The Lord has hired us and called us for that. We shall all learn to ask the Lord and hear Him. How the Lord said, He gave me the ear of a learning one. He wants us to learn to live in His will, that we're a body who's one with Him. That's so important. What else wants the Lord to do? How often do we ask the Lord, not just personally, where should I study, Lord? Lord, where should I work? If we ask that, we should ask, Lord, where shall I study for the kingdom's sake, to be one with the Lord? And because the head is dependent upon the body. That's why it's important to be one with the Lord and to hear Him and be led by Him so that He can go on with us in our localities. We're not just in one locality because that we're there, but He wants to extend this kingdom. He wants to be manifested. Lord Jesus. And as His body, we should be in the function that the Lord has given to us. Lord, we want to be such a church. The fighter on this earth. Lord, we are called for this battle. You've hired us. We give ourselves to look upon You and to fight for Your will, to pray that the judgment comes for this world, that Your kingdom comes on this earth. We look away from all these daily things to You, to Melchizedek, that You as the priestly king are before our eyes. Psalm 144:1. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. We want to be one with You, Lord. We want to be victorious with You and fight the battle. That Your kingdom comes on this earth quickly. We don't want to sleep anymore. But we want to be fighting with You and be awake. We want You to end this age through Your glorious church. Praise the Lord. I'm very encouraged by this day today. The Lord wants to bring us into His kingdom. And the Lord wants His bride as a fighter. We saw many things about the kingdom. What we do today has an effect on what happens in the thousand-year kingdom. It's the time of the reward. We read Revelation 26. If they're worthy to enter, and they shall be priests of God and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Revelation 20, verse 4 and verse 6. And I was so encouraged tonight that in the end, before the kingdom comes, there will be a battle, because the enemy knows he has little time left, and the bride is ready, is important, who is ready. We had so many aspects, but both these aspects are so important at the end of the age. 2,000 years ago, Jesus said he went as a sower to sow out the seed. The seed, what is it? It is the word of the kingdom. That's what Matthew says. You sow something and a kingdom grows. And when this kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, the Lord Jesus says, it talks about the revelation in the 1,000-year kingdom. But the kingdom is of heaven is already among you. It grows in the people. And when Christ comes and is being revealed, then all you also will be revealed with him in glory. And that's the thing about the kingdom. If one thing grows, if Russia takes Crimea, then Ukraine has lost Crimea. If one kingdom grows, then in the people, that's why the darkness loses. That's why we heard on Thursday the ones who are, we have to be courageous and we have to be, sometimes we have to say a few words and the darkness has to go away at work and the kingdom comes. The last 2,000 years, kingdom of God was growing. But soon the harvest comes. The harvest will be and the kingdom will be revealed. When the kingdom comes, we should not be caught up by the things of daily life, but be ready when the Lord calls us. The Lord really strengthened me at work to be righteous and take responsibility what I do there. But recently, I felt kind of sick and thought, I'll stay home. Otherwise, I should rest. And okay, so I decided to go to the prayer meeting, or we have to have different priorities. It's so, we should not be caught up by things of this life. We should be awake in the spirit. Shut off the computer and stop it. That's something the Lord is training us. He wants to have a fighter. Yeah. A wedding starts. Ephesians 5 talks about the bride and the fighter. Often we see Revelation 19 speaks about the bride and the fighter also has white garments. Let's read the verses. In a Song of Songs, it's all about the bride. But the bride of the Lord, Song of Songs 6:4, we can read that together. I have the Luther translation. Oh, my love, you are as beautiful as Tirzah, lovely as Jerusalem, awesome as an army with banners. Though we can believe it, it's also in verse 10. Who is she who looks forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, awesome as an army with banners? In other translations, is terrible. She's beautiful and loving, but against the enemy. This church, the golden lampstand, should shine and make the darkness, put it to an end. If the church is built up in Zion and there's a golden lampstand where the Lord uses his rod of his strength, and the church follows him willingly at the day of his power, that's horrible for the enemy. This kingdom brings his, and he wants to have such a fighter bright. He wants us to make us this fighter bright. He's reading the word, verse 4 again. Lovely is Jerusalem, awesome as an army with banners. I shared that before in Zurich. I always enjoy the song that was sung by the students through our prayer. The enemy is conquered, and it really puts shame on the enemy when the kids, and there's a red dragon, and the Lord uses the little ones to put the enemy to shame. How I have a question about faith without works is dead. Sometimes you have to act. That's where we need the spirit of understanding, that we understand what the Lord wants us to do. I have 3 children, and they are not believers yet. And one wanted to have a piercing. And she's above 18. She can do what she wants. I didn't want to join her. And the Spirit told her to go and pray with her. And when I saw where she was, and I saw how evil it was, and I knew I have to pray. And I used the Bible and opened it because the fighter without the sword cannot do anything. And I read from the Bible, and the enemy had to be quiet. And I went to the door and spoke out the blood. The enemy has no power. First, I didn't think I spoke it in authority. And two young girls came. They wanted to come in, and they turned around and said, "Oh no." And I thought, "Lord, wow, your blood is powerful. Don't understand me incorrectly. If we give room to the enemy, the God has given us authority. He wants us to take it and to and preach the gospel." That they can see the love. He wants us to be compassionate. I have another verse about being caught up in the days, in the daily things. Luke 9:62. It talks about we shouldn't just say "I want." Yeah. They say, "I want to follow you, but I have a but." But in 62, "But Jesus said to him, 'No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God.'" He has to bury his father. Say goodbye from his family. But we have been called, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is not fit for the kingdom of God. It's good to look forward unto the vision and not look back. And we look at this image, we think maybe that the kingdom of God is only in the far future. He will put his enemies under his feet. But when we see today, we're still far away from that. When he talks about the church the first time, he said, "The gates of Hades will not overcome it, and I will give you the keys to the Bible study group. Give it, but I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven." That the Lord has put the church as his kingdom on this earth. If we want to rule with the Lord, how do we want to learn this? Can we suddenly do it at the time? And we think now the kingdom Is it? Can we suddenly know how to reign? Is it easy to rule over this earth? If I tell Simon, rule over Baden-Württemberg, we know how much corruption is here in Germany. It's not so easy. When should that be learned? How do we want to learn to be one with the Lord and get all the enemies under the feet? If not now in the church, if the church is just a group of believers, but not the kingdom of heaven on this earth, how shall we do this task if the Lord comes in his kingdom? In 1 Corinthians 6, he says, don't you know that the saints will judge this earth? The holy ones will judge this earth. That we will judge the angels. We will judge all these things that are part of this age. Are we, you fully prepared to do that? If it starts tomorrow, are you ready to take on this task? Today, the Lord has given us the time to learn this. If we don't learn to rule over the enemy as a church and have the victory over his enemies. How do we want to rule? That's why in Ephesians 6 it shows the church is the fight of God on this earth. The angel comes with a chain and puts him into the pit. But the church is already there to bind the enemy and rule over him. I thank the Lord that we can be in Zion today. And Zion is the kingdom of God on this earth. It's not just a getting together of Christians, but it's where the Lord wants to use the rod of his strength, that we can fight together. And shows in verse 21, it says, he is high over every government and power and government and every name that's called, not just in this age, but also in the age to come. He has put all things under his feet and has given him as head over all things to the church. As head, he has given it to the church. We have a head that is over every government and every power. Do we use this power in Zion today? Over every names. There's many names out there. You can open up the newspaper. There's many names of people who rule in evilness. The Lord is the head over these names. But the church is there to execute it. Praise the Lord for Zion. The location from where the Lord wants to rule, that is what we do today in Zion. We learn the priestly service, but on the other hand, we learn to rule over the enemy. We have read Revelation 8, where this incense is poured out from the priests. The priests brought incense and is poured out. It's the prayers of the saints. It doesn't say what they prayed for. But then you can see what happened. It was thunderings and an earthquake. Don't they have to pray for that first? That's the reaction of God for their prayer. And it's good to see that the church, as his Zion, is working together with the Lord to get the enemy under the feet. That the church reacts and his kingdom is expressed. I thank the Lord that we can learn this today. Lord, we thank you that you brought us here, that we can fight with you. Make us one with you as the glorious head in heaven. Lord, you are a wonderful head. Thank you. You are ruling over every power and over every name. Lord, we want to learn to be one with you, to apply your authority over all your enemies. Lord, you have everything under your feet. Everything we do and fight is through you. There's a verse in the Bible. Those who did not worship the beast, they will rule with Christ for 1,000 years. That's a battle when that comes. It's the biggest fight. That's what and they will rule when they fought this battle and didn't worship, they will rule with Christ for 1,000 years. And the first fruits, not just the martyrs, before the time comes, there's also those who fight today. If you are not prepared when this time happens, then you have another opportunity to fight against the beast. But the second option, the first rapture is before that. That's what we want to be part of. We want to partake of that. It's always a battle. You cannot come to the goal without a battle. Praise the Lord. It was a wonderful day of fellowship. Let's bring the word to the Father and come to the feast with bread and wine. The Lord will serve us as Melchizedek and have fellowship with him and bring him worship. That's why we continue tomorrow at 10 with the feast. Praise the Lord.